This hour is brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.
Thanks so much for joining us here on The Retirement Brew with John Blanchard, Acadiana's retirement strategist from Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. MatthewJames.com is the website. You want to find out more about John and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. You can also give a call, 366-8366. Once again, that's 366-8366. My name is Chris Swan. Today on the show, why it might or might not be time to revisit bonds in your retirement portfolio. Should you ask your financial advisor on how they're getting paid and designing retirement plans that allow you to work, but only if you want to? All this and more. But before we dive into it, let me check in with the man himself. John, glad to be with you as always. How are you, sir?
Well, Chris, you know, look, dude, it's another busy weekend of volleyball. So now it's all-star rec volleyball, but we still have club volleyball. So volleyball, 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 obviously. But then we also have softball going on, and soccer actually finished up this past weekend. My middle son and my youngest son, Jack, both play. You know, fact is, a lot of these kids never played before. They came together. The coach did a good job, and the coach was dealing with a lot of adversity because he's from Israel, and so his family is there, and obviously that's a, you know, very tough situation for them. But, you know, it's just another busy weekend. A lot of things going on. Obviously, we had, you know, candy days. So we're trying to stay away from the dentist from Tuesday night. But also, man, it's like it's already a week that Matthew Perry's has passed away. And it's just, you know, I usually watch Friends at night falling asleep, or as much as I can, but it's I never watched it when it was actual normal, everyday
Thursday nights,
Thursday night deal. And I didn't watch it until after it was over. You know, that show's so fun to watch, and that guy is so hilarious, and it's sad that he's gone.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a part of life, and you know, something that we have to obviously deal with, but I mean, it's, you know, it's one thing it's somebody famous, but obviously if it's your family member, your mom, your dad, your sibling, you know, definitely, you know, you don't want to see a child go, but those things are really, you know, really what matter, you know, where it really hits home. But, you know, it's we got a lot of things to talk about, you know, all things finance, taxes, income management. So let's get the show on the roll, because I got a busy day, man. I got some more games to go to. It's there's never a break, but I'm definitely enjoying this cooler weather.
I'll say you always have a busy schedule. We appreciate you taking time out of it, and yeah, get you out there to enjoy a little bit more of this cooler weather. Fall is upon us. Winter is going to be here. The end of the year is going to be here before we know it. And you know, there's so many things to take care of beforehand. So let's go ahead and dive in. You know, we've had inflation, we've had stagflation, we've even had shrinkflation. Now we're experiencing what some are calling funflation, which is the recent boom in consumer spending on entertainment and experiences with high demand causing prices to skyrocket. Great examples, the Taylor Swift tour, the Beyonce tickets, concert tickets, just astronomical prices. Retailers like Best Buy, they're even blaming funflation for their slipping TV sales. I have to wonder, at what point do you advise clients to, you know, maybe carve out a category in their retirement plan for, you know, these fun expenses in their retirement?
Look, I mean, it's a conversation that I have with everybody that comes in about a matter of, you know, carving out money that you're going to be allocating towards, earmarking towards, you know, these experiences. And obviously things are costing a lot more. I mean, just everything's expensive. And we've seen the drive up in cost since COVID. And it's something that we have to look at is like what's really happened to the markets where things were really cheap. When we look at from housing, we're looking at, you know, even buying a vehicle. Look, I ordered a truck a year ago. And I had to go from a 23 now to a 24, and then I got an email two weeks ago that they're going to update me in 45 more days, you know, because of supply demand issues and also strikes going on. And like, man, this thing will never come, you know. But like, we're seeing that, and you know, there's a lot of things that are being sold at a premium or maybe at just regular MSRP, and obviously some things that there's been some, you know, price hiking in areas that's not really the best thing to do in a retail environment. Whenever you have an MSRP, then you're charging more for it. That's not really, you know, fair to the consumer. But I mean, the good thing is that you know the retailer can hold their price. You know, the scarcity and the demand, that's the winning formula, you know, for any business, is that they can make the full margin, you know, in that scenario. But we have to look at these skyrocketing prices, you know, in all different aspects. I mean, there's travel, there's different goods, there's different experiences. And we have to look at what happened since COVID, where there's a lot of things that were really cheap, and then the government starts printing money. Okay, there's $1.4 trillion that went out in stimulus checks. And then credit card balances were at one point pretty high. They dropped down to the lowest, or under half a trillion dollars. They were sitting around $400 to $500 billion, the consumer credit card balances. And then from there, the you know, people paid down stuff, but also they charged up stuff. They bought stuff. They bought experiences. And so what that did is that helped the American economy, the stock market, because you know, this stuff, these things that people have purchased went towards, you know, corporate profits that went to their bottom line and helped their stock surge. You know, obviously, there was a tech boom and everything else through 2020. But then from there, it's because of, you know, the amount of sales. I've talked to guys that work at different motorcycle dealerships and where, you know, they went from like dying to like this major surge. And you've seen like auto sales and a lot of things because of the stimulus money. And then from there, that, you know, obviously that money dried up. And so then they were forecasting, some businesses were, you know, the leader of that business was probably not making a good decision forecasting a continuation on that kind of sales whenever, you know, if you stop the money supply to the consumer where they can take that money that they were, you know, some people were very irresponsible with and purchase things they don't need. We got to look at how that affects the economy. And so now credit card balances are at all-time high. People's emergency funds are at an all-time low. And, you know, with this inflation, people have used their credit card to supplement their paycheck, not a second job, their credit card. So borrowing money at, you know, maybe at up to 29, you know, percent interest. I mean, I'm curious to see what the volume of lending has been for these like payday loan type businesses. We've had conversations with people that are near retirement and then they have $70,000 of credit card debt. I'm like, how did that happen? And you know, there's some, you know, irresponsible things going on, and we have to help them, you know, basically refinance that debt, restructure that debt, do a debt stacking plan where – and then, look, anybody that has debt and you're interested in having a debt stacking plan, we're not going to charge you for it. But what we do need is the balance of what you owe, the minimum payment. If you're making an extra payment, what is that difference? And what's the interest rate? And we have a piece of software that runs this formula through, and we can give you exactly a schedule of how to pay things off in what order to cut down time and interest payments. So there's a lot of opportunities out there to help people, you know, get out of a bind. We do have the tools, the software to do it. And, you know, we don't just help out just retirees. We have people that are business owners that are looking for tax strategies on lowering their tax liability. I mean, think about it. If you're a business owner, you're self-employed, you don't work for someone. In other words, you don't have a W-2, and you're cutting a check to the IRS for $50, $80, $100, $200, $300, $500,000 a year or more. You know, what are you doing and planning? How are you utilizing the tax code to benefit you? And if you're not, if you think about it, okay, you're writing this check, give us a call. Let me and Caleb look at your situation and figure out, okay, we do an assessment. We charge people for an assessment, and we can go over the fees for that. And then from there, we can give you a plan of what to do. And if you want us to implement it, then we can look forward into that. But maybe you're a retiree. You're in that situation. Maybe you are an employee somewhere. You're W-2. You have a job. You know, you're trying to raise your family. You have some debt. You know, so we have, you know, we help people in different areas. And so if you have questions and you need answers and you need a little bit of time, you need some information, just give our office a call. If it's a Zoom meeting, we can do that. We can, you know, we could just talk over the phone, or if you want to come by our office, we can schedule you to come in. But ideally, you know, it's a good time to get information in this economic environment where there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of volatility, a lot of issues. A lot of people are very nervous about what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's not just the people going into retirement worried about their nest egg. We're looking at the people that are trying to save and invest. So it's a matter of building a plan. And in the upcoming weeks, we're going to be doing some free workshops, you know, covering a lot of different areas and different topics, probably at the public library or maybe the Light Center and a couple other locations, to give the public information. No cost for the class. Just get the information. If you need to, you know, schedule a time with us, then you can do that. And once we put out those dates, we'll go ahead and talk about it on the radio show, Chris, and give people more information on that.
Because here's the thing, when it comes to whether you're in retirement or, you know, you're still in the working world, you're not here on this earth just to pay your bills and go to work. You know, you're obviously here to you know, enjoy yourself and enjoy the fruits of your labor, but you want to make sure you don't overextend yourself. You don't find yourself jeopardizing your retirement plan, putting yourself in more debt. You have to make sure the numbers align. And if you need help with that, here's the number you should keep in mind, 366-8366. That's how you sit down and speak with the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. If you want more information about those upcoming workshops that they've got coming up, or you just want to skip the line and you know, sit down in their office and speak with them, 366-8366. Start putting together that plan, making sure that you can, you know, again, enjoy the fruits of your labor. You can also go online, MatthewJames.com. There's a new study out that graded retirement systems around the world, and it says the U.S. deserves no higher than a C+. Their research says one of the biggest reasons is Social Security's looming solvency crisis, which is projected to hit as early as 2033, which, in the course of a retirement, right around the corner, possibly triggering big cuts in benefits. John, how are you guys? How is the team at Matthew James Tax Wealth Management helping clients plan around this for the future so that their retirement doesn't eventually get hit with a failing grade?
Well, ideally, what we have to do is making sure that their supplemental investments that they're going to use to, their investments that they're going to be using to supplement Social Security will be around. So the thing is, we got to make sure we're preserving this principle with the correct strategies and then having the right distribution plan. So what we often see is from what people are coming in with or what they were pitched is some kind of like guaranteed income annuity to supplement Social. Look, it sounds fine in a way to where, you know, you're getting an insurance company to give you a guaranteed paycheck and then that's going to, you know, help you out. Or there's some other ones that have like these benefits that can basically increase your income if Social Security check gets cut. Sounds great, but we got to look at the other side of the coin as well of what happens to the principal balance. So there's other things that we can do that can provide a higher income rate for your dollar than what that guaranteed income annuity would. And then from there, we can earmark these other dollars to capitalize, you know, in different markets to basically grow your nest egg even further to supply you even more income for the future. So it's all about structuring your assets the right way, having money organized and let's call it buckets where, you know, we have money earmarked for emergency funds and planned expenses and other money that we're going to use to supplement Social through the first phase of retirement. Then we have another bucket where we're accumulating more money, focusing on more growth, using different strategies that we can use to supplement Social for that last decade or decade and a half, to making sure that you have adequate money and also capitalizing on having enough money to cover any kind of medical expenses. You know, as we see, you know, the government, you know, they're in a financial pickle, and we have to, you know, don't think, okay, well, the government's going to be here to take care of me, and you know, I paid in all this time, and they're going to pay me, you know, they're going to keep this benefit. Look, we need a plan, you know, for, you know, save for the Mercedes, but buy the Civic, you know, in that way where we're making sure that we have more than what we need because we don't know what the future holds. I mean, who would have thought we would have seen the kind of inflation that we've seen? And that's nothing compared to like Venezuela, where, you know, you've seen that particular country had a reverse market crash. You know, we're headed to it as well. You know, a lot of real estate agents were like, look, just go ahead and finance it. And then when the rates lower, then you can refinance your home. Okay, well, that sounds great. But like, you know, homes that we're seeing that you know, priced at a certain point, and then we see the interest rates drop, some of those homes, they're going to double in value overnight. So we just have to pay attention to all these different things on how things cost and how we need to have our money working for us in the correct way to be able to supplement that Social Security check when that time comes, and even making sure that we're, you know, choosing the right strategy as far as when to take it. Some people believe, look, I need to take it at 62 as early as possible. Some people want to wait later. It all depends. If you're married, if you're single, if you're working, where's your other wealth at? How to withdraw that money tax efficiently? Are you over leveraged in tax deferred accounts where you have basically a lien on that whole account? Which, I mean, if you have a tax deferred account, at the end of the day, you do have a lien on it from the IRS. You owe them taxes on that money because it's never been taxed before. So we just have to look at building a strategy that encompasses all these different things to make sure that you're making the right decision.
Right now, Social Security is still providing that COLA, that cost of living adjustment. But, you know, 2033, we may see a situation where that reverses, where there is not a cost of living adjustment, might actually even be a reduction of benefits. So you need some growth potential in there. And so you need to have an investment strategy as well as just a, you know, an income strategy in your retirement plan. And that is what comprehensive planning is all about. And that is where Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management comes into play. To start the conversation, see where you stand right now and what steps you need to take on the road towards retirement, give a call, schedule a time to speak with them, 366-8366, or going to MatthewJames.com. Let's talk taxes for a second, because when you retire, you might have a house here, you might have a house in another state, another climate. That you then have to just be careful where you spend the right amount of time in the state that you want to file your taxes. The state of New York recently went after one man saying he owed them tax revenue because he had an apartment in New York and didn't spend enough time in Texas. He spent more time in New York, and so he was required to pay the New York taxes. But the man won the case because he had moved his dog to Dallas. So apparently where your dog lives is officially your state of residence. So something to keep in mind. John, have you used any creative tax strategies like this when it comes to planning in retirement?
You know, the thing is we have to look at, you know, how we got to look at the amount of people leaving California, New York, and was it Illinois? I think those are the three highest tax states. And I mean, you got to look at the amount of people that moved to Texas, Florida, Tennessee, and Nevada. And I know that like maybe South Dakota, you know, we have to look at all these things. I mean, look, there's even people looking at leaving Louisiana. You know, I mean, you get a raise leaving Louisiana. Number one, I mean, if you go to Texas or Florida, that's a tax thing. But then your auto insurance, you know, the amount of the premiums that we're paying in the state of Louisiana, it's insane. I mean, look, I have a new 16-year-old driver. Mm-hmm. My premium doubled, you know, and then like in a year and a half, I might have another one that's turning 16. And then the year after that, another one. Bottom line, I mean, look, everything's expensive. And so people are looking at, you know, bottom line, how can I save money? There's people that are retired that are looking at, okay, where their money's coming from, the different things like that. How could they save? You know, even when people are selling a business, you know, I had a lady that we're helping out. She's saving some land. Her real estate agent told her she's going to pay 15% capital gains tax. No, not at all. Not in her situation. The amount of money that she's selling and the cost basis that she has, she's going to pay 20% long-term capital gains tax. Okay. Now, if she sells in 2026, that's going to 25. But then you have to add the 3.8 net investment income tax, and then you have to add the state of Louisiana, the four and a quarter tax as well. So like in that case, that's, you know, 28.05% in taxes. And he told her she was paying 15. So, you know, she's calculating how much money she's have to pay in taxes, and that's not ideally, like, or, you know, that's not ideal at all. And so in her situation, but people are like trying to sell a business. They're, you know, they reinvest in their business. They didn't really contribute that much to maybe their retirement plan because they kept reinvesting their business with the anticipation on selling because maybe they don't have kids that are interested in taking over the business, or they don't have kids at all that, you know, pass on to the next generation. So they're planning on selling it. But then the big thing when you're trying to sell it is, oh, I got to pay these taxes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're helping people that have highly appreciated real estate or businesses. We're helping them with a deferred tax strategy where we can move those assets into a specialized trust. It's a 1031 alternative, especially like whenever you have a business. You don't like a 1031 for businesses, but we do in this situation. It's not a 1031, but it's an alternative. And what we could do is help people reduce their tax exposure completely, and by moving those assets into a trust, and then you pay the taxes on your whenever you take an income from the trust itself. But then the great thing is that money that's in a trust can grow tax deferred. So I'm just using a number. If you take $2 million, put in a trust, you've just saved yourself, you know, lots of money in taxes. And then that, let's say that $2 million grows to $5 million over the course of a couple of years because of the investments that you made. You don't pay taxes on any of the gain. You only pay taxes on the distribution of the trust. And so, like, that's something that's very attractive for people that are looking at, you know, making an exit in the very near term future. I mean, we're helping people right now selling, you know, whether it's land, a business, different kind of real estate, rentals, you know, all these different things where we can help them reduce their tax exposure significantly. I mean, if you can cut somebody, you know, $2 million or $500,000 in taxes, I mean, that's a lot of money. And the thing is that money's in that account growing tax deferred. And so you can invest it. You can invest in small businesses. If you want to buy into a business, if you want to buy more real estate, if you want to buy stocks, bonds, ETFs, and watch that money capitalize and grow. And then you just pay taxes on your distribution. These are the things that we got to look at. So we have to look at your tax exposure in all fronts.
Regardless of what you want to do in retirement, what your retirement plans are, where you want to live, where you want your dogs to live, perhaps. I think one thing that is universal, you want to pay as little as possible in taxes. That's not to say, you know, tax avoidance. Got to drive this point home every time. That is illegal. What we're talking about is tax minimization, and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you develop those strategies, whether it is using the deferred tax strategy John talked about, if you're, you know, selling a business or real estate or whatever it may be, sitting down and speaking with them to make sure you get to keep as much of your hard-earned money as possible is as simple as picking up the phone and giving a call. 366-8366 is the phone number. The financial website MarketWatch posed 15 questions that you should ask before you hire a financial advisor. 8 of them had something to do with how the advisor would be paid. John, how and when do you guys approach that topic, and what would you consider to be red flags in this conversation?
Yeah, I mean, so the thing is, I don't know about like really red flags, but we're very transparent. We explain to them, you know, the structure on how we get paid, what type of vehicles we get paid, and then how does that create their, you know, how does that calculate for their effective fee? Because different things that we're doing have different fee structures, so it's not like everything's the same. So, which is good. I mean, we think you need to, you know, we have everything priced out for how the mechanics of it works. You know, if it's super simple, it's really, really cheap. If it's very complex and that provides a lot of value in a lot of different areas, and obviously that's a little bit more expensive. But the thing is, we're using a lot of third party. We go out and hire out very sophisticated, high level money managers that are using some strategies that basically only the elite get to access. And since we built special relationships, and then, you know, they have a cost of doing business, and we have to, you know, charge adequately for that. But then whenever we break down the effective fee, depending on what we're doing, actually, it's actually very, very competitive compared to, you know, another firm charging a blanket number across the board. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it might be the same. Sometimes it might be less. It's not often that it's more. But ideally, it's all about value. And you know, in the absence of value, cost is always an issue. So we want to make sure that we're bringing in value when it comes down to tax planning, income management, you know, healthcare planning, you know, even like estate planning when it comes down to that, like making sure that you're using the right avenues, the right tactics, you know, just the overall strategy in general. And that's the key thing that we got to look at is how to lower your expenses is one thing, but we also have to, you know, we have to look at it from a fee standpoint, but we have to look at it from a tax standpoint too. Because, I mean, what if, like, let's just say, what if we can save you, you know, let's say 30-40% in your tax bill, but you have to pay your management fee might go up a quarter of a point. Would that be worth it? Probably so. You know, so we just have to look at everything and see what makes sense and maybe what doesn't. And so ideally, that's the thing, is we give everybody options. We give everybody a clear fee structure on you know, what we charge for the specific strategy that we're using. And so the I'd say general rule of thumb is what you can expect, you know, just across the board in the industry is less than 2%. Now, 2 might be a big number, but I'm saying, like, what most people don't know is that some of them are paying over 2%, not even realizing it, because they're told they're paying 1%. But when you add up everything else underneath it all, and that's the thing, is we do a fee analysis as well. And we have people walk, you know, coming in here thinking they're paying 1%, and they leave and finding out they're paying 1.75%. You know, that's a big difference. You know, that's almost double what they were told. And so you just have to have a good understanding of how the industry works, especially if you have an, you know, depending how the money's being managed, you know, what's the custodian. I mean, we see some of them at 2.5, you know, but we see some investment vehicles that people are using, like variable annuities. That is probably the most expensive financial vehicle you can use, because whenever you have all the added features and benefits, so-called features and benefits, I think, then you're looking at probably 4-6% a year in fees. That's pretty pricey. And so we see this a lot. I mean, the person offering it to you is not making more because you're getting more of a fee. It's just, you know, they're adding all these things and saying, okay, it's going to pay for itself. It does this, that, and the other. But, like, you can do a lot of other things and cut your cost down significantly. And so that's the things that we have to look at.
When it comes to prices paid and fees and things like that, it's all about value, right? Regardless of what we're talking about, whether we're talking about entertainment expenses, whether we're talking about buying food. But when it comes to your finances, the same sort of thing, making sure that you are getting value, if not more value, for what you're paying for. So having that conversation, figuring out, you know, what you're going to get in exchange for what you're paying, it's an important conversation to have, and it's one you should have. And the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they'll be very transparent about it when you had that conversation with them. But I dare say, especially when it comes to the tax planning side, among other things, you know, extremely worth the time to sit down and have that conversation. 366-8366 is the phone number. Once again, that's 366-8366. It's not just about taxes. It's not just about income and retirement. Planning for long-term care, also a major factor. A couple recently wrote into MarketWatch asking a question about long-term care. She's 69, he's 65. They've got 2 pensions, 2 social securities. Total brings it about $200,000 a year, and they've saved $1.5 million, which they don't touch. They've looked at those long-term care policies, found out that they top out at $360,000 in benefits. Now, since they have more than enough of that saved, they're wondering if they should just go, you know what, if it happens, we're going to pay for it ourselves out of pocket. What are your thoughts on this, John?
Well, I mean, look, there's different things that are out there that, you know, from a benefit standpoint. And, you know, like this one particular person, their long-term care policies, their long-term care policies topped out at $360,000 a year. I mean, I see some that we have some that, you know, I have a buddy of mine that uses the same service that I do. And up front, they're getting as much as $480,000 a year in benefit for one person. Now, there's a limit of how much you can put in there total. But the thing is, we got to look at what's the right benefit. What is your situation? What's the complexity? You know, you got to look at how you're going to pay for it. And so there's different situations. So in we like the estate planning attorneys I know will tell you, look, don't use an irrevocable trust if you have the money to go ahead and fund a asset-based long-term care policy where, you know, that policy itself is huge. You're leveraging an insurance company to pay to benefit in the event you go into a nursing home or you have in-home care, so you don't have to start draining your assets and paying excessive taxes and you know, triggering IRMA increases. And so that's more of an expense to you, and then you're losing access and control of your money because you're draining it. Or if you stick the money inside of an irrevocable trust to try to protect the money in the event you go into a nursing home, well, then you're tying up the money and you're not getting access to it. That becomes an issue. Or you're just, you know, I mean, obviously we talked about covering the expenses. So we have to look at what is the right thing for you in your situation. Now, if people can afford it, I'd say go the asset-based long-term care plan. It doesn't make a difference to me financially. Ideally, it's the right thing for you. I know with my mother-in-law's mom, they forked out roughly about $1.2 million in cash just to cover because she had dementia. She lived about 12 years, and she had care probably about 10 hours a day and typically like five, you know, Monday through Friday, and it used about 5 hours on Saturday, maybe 5 hours on Sunday, mm-hmm. over a 12-year time span. That's a significant amount of money. And so we have to look at it. Maybe they needed two. You know, we have to look at all those different scenarios on what is the best thing for you. But having a plan to where in the event something happens to you prematurely, your money still goes somewhere. You know, so that's the things that we have to look at, is making sure that we're protecting your money, you know, for the long haul, making sure you don't lose it. Because the old legacy policies, the way they operate is, you know, you pay into perpetuity until you start using the benefit. Maybe some of them you have to still pay it even though you use the benefit. There's not many of them that are out there that are like that. But if you die prematurely, you lost all the money that you put into it unless you had some kind of return of premium rider, which means you're paying more for it, sometimes in most cases double. But ideally, there's the other plans where you're not having to pay into something perpetuity. You can actually move money into it as a lump sum. You don't have to make any more payments. But in the event you die prematurely, that money goes to a beneficiary. So that's the things that we have to look at, is how to structure it to where, you know, in your position, you're making sure that you're getting guaranteed something, guaranteed it's going to someone, and guaranteed it's going to be used, and it's going to cover the necessary expenses that you have. We just want to make sure people have the adequate amount of money to cover, you know, in the event that's a need that they need to have an expense that that needs to be paid for. But we also have to make sure we're helping them out on the earlier side of retirement, where they're having enough money they can use to travel and maybe do upgrades to their house, or maybe buying a camper or a dream vehicle that they've always wanted. Or, you know, there's a lot of other things that people want to do. But ideally, it's making sure that you have your finances, you know, assets earmarked and everything, maybe readjust as inflation goes up. And so how to have an income plan, a distribution plan, a tax plan to cover all those different areas.
Really, the worst thing you can do is say, it won't happen to me. I don't have to plan for it at all. Because while we hope that's the case, we certainly do. Again, I just gave you the odds. You know, it's the flip of a coin, maybe even worse than that you might need to. And then you don't want the what ifs to become what now. Start developing that strategy. You figure out, you know, again, how to make sure you or your loved ones get to keep as much of your hard-earned money and it's not eaten up by unnecessary costs or having to spend down into debt and, you know, that Medicaid spend down, things like that. Develop a strategy, which includes taxes, which includes income, which includes healthcare expenses along the way. That is what Matthew James Tax Wealth Management is here for. And you can reach them by calling 366-8366. Start developing that comprehensive strategy with them. 366-8366. On the web, MatthewJames.com. Can you think of something that means totally different things to different ages? Let's talk about the one, the phrase out of pocket. You heard right, out of pocket. Here's Emmeline Childs on TikTok.
And I know what you might be thinking. I know what out of pocket means. I don't need you to Google that. Do you? Do you know what it means? Because according to Gen Z, out of pocket means out of character. You're doing something silly, goofy, wild, crazy. If you are communicating with someone over the age of 30, you can continue to use out of pocket the way that it is meant to be used, meaning away from your desk. You're just going to be offline for a little bit. But if you're talking to someone under 30, be careful. When enough people use a phrase wrong, it suddenly becomes right, and the rest of us need to adapt. I'm going to go do something out of pocket.
Now, John, in retirement planning, are there terms that could be interpreted differently by people? And how do you help, clarify, help out both groups?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is a dividend. In the financial world, there's two different sides. There's a dividend off of publicly traded companies, and there's dividends on life insurance. So what the same word has two different meanings, just like out of pocket. You know, honestly, I didn't realize that until you just said it, which is pretty interesting. So, and I have a bunch of people that work for me that are 25 and are around 25. So, I'm going to have a talk with them on Monday about that, seeing if, you know, were they out of pocket this weekend and see what their reaction is. Now, the thing is that in you know, with this word dividend, in a business, that is profit being shared, paid to the shareholders, quarterly, typically, or monthly, something like that. But then on the other side of things, there is on the life insurance standpoint, a dividend is a refund from a deliberate overcharge of unused premiums. That's the definition. So basically, they're giving you money back that you overpaid, and so that is a charge that, you know, they're reimbursing you back. Like, let's say you go to the grocery store and you buy a loaf of bread, and let's say the loaf of bread was $4. You give them a $10 bill, and then you walk away, and then they're going to mail you a check for $6 and call it a dividend. That's your own money back. So the thing is we just have to have an understanding what some of these financial terms are. And that's like the biggest one that stands out that I'm always having to explain on how it works, because there's people in the insurance industry that are explaining a dividend. And, you know, for me, I just don't like the way it's explained, because it's misleading, because most people just assume it's like a stock, and it's not. It's a little bit different. Now, granted, you know, stock companies and mutual companies are obviously different. Mutual companies are the ones offering the dividend in most cases, and then that dividend is turned around to buy either paid-up insurance, but basically more like more whole life insurance, or maybe it's like an extended term. There's different options that you can have, or it's a refund, or it could go towards your next premium. There's different things like that. But we just have to look at the math in that scenario and figure out, okay, what's the right thing for you in your scenario?
You know, another one I think that a lot of people have, which may not necessarily be a difference in the actual definition, but risk tolerance. People, I think, say they have a pretty high risk tolerance, you know, when the market is doing well. You know, you look at the long run we had from 2009 up until 2020, where everything was going up. They said, yeah, I can withstand these risks because, I mean, why would I miss out on these huge gains? But on the other side of it, when the market sees its its dips like it has recently, suddenly people find out that they are a little bit more risk averse than they initially thought. Having that conversation, making sure there's clarity and you guys are both aligned when it comes to your retirement plan, a better understanding of it. That is what Matthew James Tax Wealth Management is all about. That education, that empowerment, and to get them on your side to help them, to help you develop your plan. 366-8366 or online at MatthewJames.com. Inflation and higher interest rates are pushing more Americans to unretire. A recent survey found about 55% of retirees who went back to work did so because they needed more money. Another 1 in 6, they're actually still considering returning to work. John, when you guys design these retirement plans, do you take into account, you know, economic hiccups people may see along the way, so that going back to the workforce is a choice rather than a necessity?
Yeah, I mean, look, some people are choosing because they're, we're hoping it's not a necessity situation. So we want to make sure that we're putting their money in the right place and have the correct distribution plan, the correct tax plan, so they don't have to be forced to unretire. But there is people that decide to go back to work because, you know, they have a lot of time on their hands. They want to do something to do. They want to feel productive and being social. You know, it's amazing how many people that you see working at different places. I mean, if you go to, let's say, Marshall's, how many women that are retired working there just to have, you know, have a little bit of time on their hands, get some extra spending money for, you know, their sewing hobby. Or, you know, you have guys that are working at maybe Stein or one of the other lumber yards or like a Home Depot type Lowe's situation, and they're just working part time just to, you know, have something to do. And there's so many different things that people could do, whether it's paint a fence or, you know, go cut a couple yards, just to have something to do. And that's what, you know, whenever, you know, if you're not traveling all the time and maybe you're trying to stay away from the honey-do list that the wife's, you know, creating, that's a way of getting, you know, getting out and getting, you know, doing something. But it's we're a social human being. Maybe people just don't want to stay home and they want to be out. And it's a big transition when you flip a switch from going to an 8-to-5 every day and you have the people that you work around, you've built a relationship with, and then you leave and then, like, there's a disconnect. And then so you're trying to find someone to talk to. Or the other thing, maybe your grandbabies don't live locally, so you can't see them as much as you want. So we just have to look at the scenario and figure, okay, what is the best thing, you know, for you, and how to create a plan, a structure, and you can lower your that vulnerability for shortening your time span in retirement where you have to go back to work.
Because that should be the choice, right? You know, we all know there are going to be hiccups in life, whether it is economic hiccups, whether it is, you know, changes in family dynamic. Things happen. Life happens. And when life happens, it is rarely inexpensive. Making sure that these things are accounted for, not necessarily every event down to the detail, but knowing that there are going to be expenses. That is why John is a big proponent of having that emergency fund, of having, you know, being as debt-free as possible in retirement. Obviously, the less money you're paying out towards, you know, banknotes and things like that, the more money you get to keep for yourself. And being as tax efficient, the same process, the less money you're paying to Uncle Sam, more money for your retirement. That is the benefit of having a comprehensive retirement strategy. And that is what you get at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management. To get started, real easy, start addressing whatever hiccups you may see along the way in retirement. 366-8366 is the phone number. It's 366-8366. Don't forget, you can also find them online day and night, always available, MatthewJames.com. Now, John, I know on the air in a lot of financial conversations, and even us ourselves, we spent a lot of time directing the conversation towards those, you know, 40-hour a week W-2 employees, but that's not always the case. We've got small business owners that listen, that live in the area. You've got people who work in, you know, the professional services sector who, you know, they also have to take into account taxes, and that could be a complicated thing in and of itself. Let's take some time and talk about them and how you and the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management can help them out.
Yeah, Chris, look, we have to look at everybody's situation and create a tailor-made plan for them and figure, okay, how we can reduce their liability. And the first thing that we got to look at is measure where they are today. And so typically when we have conversations with people, we want to get about 3 years worth of the past tax returns so we can see exactly what's going on, how their accountant or their CPA is processing their return, looking at their 1040, and checking out all the different aspects of their tax return. And what we want to do is build a plan, build a trifecta. And their situations, obviously, you know, everybody's different. So ideally, we got to look at how does everything flow through the 1040 and how to reduce that tax exposure. So you might have people that, you know, they might have a full-time job, but then they might have a side hustle. And they might have, you know, like rental incomes as well. That side hustle might be like a 1099 gig, and then they have the rental income. But so what we have to do is how to build this trifecta to where we're having an operations division for their side hustle and even their real estate, if they have real estate. And then from there, how does that work with their W-2? And maybe they have other investments. Maybe they have children that are younger, or grandchildren. They want to pay them. So what we have to do is build a plan to where we look at everything that's passive income, everything that maybe grows tax deferred or tax free, how to structure that, the things that get taxable at the ordinary income level, which would be their W-2, looking at the side hustle. So how to, you know, incorporate their, like, an S corp and maybe different LLCs and structure it to where they can maximize contributions into different types of retirement plans. They can buy more real estate, get deductions. We can do cost segregation with real estate, like short-term rentals or any kind of rentals. We have to look at how to depreciate things the correct way. I say correct way, but different strategies of correcting it. How to have a board of directors, whether it's, you know, family. How to do how to use your home as a way of being basically how to use your home in the event where your business can rent it out and get basically income from that tax free. We have to look at a lot of different strategies on different purchases, different things that you got to, you know, you got to make, different investments you're going to make in the future, to where we can create you know, like I said, this trifecta of an operations unit for all of your business entities. And, you know, how does that work with your W-2, and how does it work with your actual investments? And so how to make that S-Corp work with the actual investments, the rental properties that you may have, and then how to create that to flow through the most tax efficiently for your 1040. And that's the ideal thing. We got to look at the big picture of what are you trying to do? What's your goals, you know, for the future? Where, you know, if you plan on selling, if you plan on, you know, paying children, if you plan on going on vacations, if you plan on making purchases of new vehicles, how to write that off. If you plan on, you know, buying a second home, if you plan on maybe selling real estate and you're buying more real estate, how to make sure we're doing, making sure that tax transaction is beneficial for you. If you're looking at giving money to a church, a charity, or some kind of nonprofit foundation, how to lower that tax liability for you. So we have to, you know, cover all these different things and ask a series of questions to lower the amount of taxes that you have to pay and do some really advanced planning. And there is probably about 25 different strategies that we can incorporate to help you lower your tax bill. So like if you're a some kind of like a medical professional, if you're a dentist, if you're a surgeon, if you are you know, if you're a 1099 nurse practitioner, if you are you know, if you're an ophthalmologist, you know, if you have your own clinic, you know, and if you have your, you know, your own doctor's office, you're not like solely employed a W-2 by, let's say, Women's or Lord's, Ochsner's, or any other major hospital. And if you are a contract employee, and you have your own business that you're billing your clients, that we can help you save significant amount of money. If you are a plumber, if you're an AC repairman, if you are a roofer, if you're a contractor, if you work in oil and gas industry, you know, there's so many different people. If you own a lawn service, if you do landscaping, there's so many different types of careers that you could have. And so the tax code is written for the business owner, not written for the W-2 employee. So whenever you hear like these, you know, some of these politicians talk about how the wealthy don't pay taxes, you got to look at how are they earning money? Like Warren Buffett, there's been conversations about, you know, his secretary paying a higher tax rate than he is. And is that fair? And it absolutely is. It's even though he's worth a zillion dollars and she's not, but the thing is it's how she's earning income and how he's earning income. And so a lot of people on you know, from a political side say, well, the wealthy don't pay their fair share. They're paying a lower tax rate than other people. Well, it's how they're earning. And so that's the thing is the mass population doesn't understand the tax code. And so the most inefficient way of making money is through earned income. That is the highest tax rates that you could see. And so you're paying an ordinary income tax rate that goes all the way to right now, 37% plus the state up to 4.5%, you know, I mean, 4.25% for the state of Louisiana. But you got other states where you're paying over 12% on the state tax. So we just have to look at, okay, how does the tax code work? How does passive income work? How does, you know, dividends get taxed? All these different things. And so we have to create as much tax efficiency as possible. And using all the deductions that the IRS allows you to in scope of, you know, what's going on. We got to make sure that you have, you know, you're in a position where you won't get audited, and we have to look at how to create the right plan for you, your family, for your business to be more profitable and use the tax code to your advantage.
Regardless of what you do in the working world, regardless of what you want to do when you stop working, tax efficiency is key. And the team at Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management, they can help you out. You just have to take that first step, start that conversation with them, 366-8366, or go to MatthewJames.com.
Matthew James Financial Group is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Please consult with your attorney, accountant, and/or tax advisor for advice concerning your particular circumstances. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. Bonus annuities may include higher surrender charges, longer surrender charge periods, lower caps, higher spreads, or other restrictions that are not included in similar annuities that don't offer a premium bonus feature. Read your contract for restrictions, limitations, or penalties. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through John Ronald Blanchard, Louisiana Insurance License Number 529925. Investment advisory services are offered through J. Hagen Capital, Inc., Registered Investment Advisor. Insurance products offered separately through John Blanchard, License Number 529925.
This hour was brought to you by Matthew James Tax and Wealth Management.